Just 1 year ago, they took a walk down the aisle and started their lifelong journeys together. Now they've come back to answer the question, is the honeymoon over?
Today on Real Family Talk, we're checking in with one of our favorite newlywed couples. Join us.
When Justin and Brandy were our guests just months before their wedding, we played a game to see how much they knew about each other and to determine whether they were well matched. Well, they're back today to give us a recap on their first year of marriage.
Welcome back, Justin and Brandy. How's it going?
Things are well. Good. Things are well. Thank you for having us back.
You guys look good. Well. You're still smiling.
Yes. Most days.
How was the first year of marriage? How's it been?
It was good. It was, we were just talking about it, you know, it got here, the first year flew by. It went by very quickly, but it was well.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yes. We weren't fighting with each other, so it wasn't dragging things out, you know?
At least not every day.
Right, fair enough.
Not every day.
That's fair.
So if you were to use just three or four words to sum up your first year, what would you say, Brandy?
Patience. Challenging and a joy.
Patience, challenging, and a joy. All right, good. That's honest.
What would you say, Justin?
I would say it was an expected adjustment.
An expected adjustment.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So elaborate on that, and I'll get back to you. We'll get back to you.
I say expected adjustment because going into marriage, it's a change. And I was used to living by myself for a while. Now having Brandy in the house, things grow legs and start moving.
But before marriage, they stay right where you put them.
Exactly. And so I'm like, oh, I have to think like Brandy, where would she put it? But then as well as, you know, just being accountable to someone else. I think that was something that I knew about and I was prepared for.
Was that an easy adjustment for you, Justin?
I think so. You'd have to ask her. I think so. I was pretty good at, you know, kind of letting her know where I would be or if I was going to be late or something along those lines. So I try to keep the lines of communication open, at least in that sense. So I think it wasn't too bad of an adjustment. But then again, like I said, you might have to ask her.
All right. So you said patience,
challenging,
and a joy. So you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah. It's just been a joy to wake up every morning to my friend, my best friend, and to go through things, which is the challenging part. We learn together. So it's a challenge just because we have differences of opinions. And then patience for sure, because he does things a certain way, then I do things a certain way. And then so it's kind of like, well, this is new to him and it's new to me. So patience is definitely a virtue. Some days I possess it and other days I have to find it. But it's a good patience because it teaches me to kind of be still and observe and kind of see how I can grow in the situation as well. So
do you see it? Did you see it as a growth experience? Or did you find in any way that maybe you were resentful, like, you know, like now I have to like call somebody and tell them where I'm going, or mm-hmm. now I have to be patient because someone has put something out of place? How did you feel about this? I mean, we're trying to get to the core of this here.
I mean, for me, it's something that I needed because he's very patient. And I mean, I'm a nurse and I'm patient when it comes to nursing. When it comes to being home, and some things are like, okay, let's go, let's get it, like, what's going on, let's get it done. That's my mentality, whereas, you know, he's just kind of like, okay, you know, what happens will happen. But it's teaching me a lot. So for me, it's been a good thing. And I mean, I enjoy it personally most days. But
tell me a little bit about your honeymoon. Where'd you go and how was that? Was that a good start for you?
It was awesome. So I've never been to Europe, and Justin knew that I wanted to go to Europe, so we went to a few cities in France, and then we took a train ride and went to a few cities in Italy. So it was exciting.
Where'd you go?
We went to Paris on the first, and then we went to Nice, which was beautiful. Monaco, and then we took a train ride to Milan.
And
then Venice, and then Rome, mm-hmm. Pompeii, while we were there as well. Mm-hmm.
Kind of traveled all over France and Italy.
How long was that, man? That sounds like a long time. 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Two weeks, yeah. Or 16 days.
16 days
can be exact, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Congratulations on making that investment to begin your marriage. Because many times people have very little time and they think they can postpone it. You can't postpone a honeymoon. Mm-hmm. It either takes place right after the wedding or it's a molasses moon. It's not a honeymoon.
You've
got too much under the belt by the time you take it. And so you're not as fresh and ready for that new adventure as you are.
So we usually tell people, even if you only have a few days, take a few days because you need that time to reflect back and say, oh, you know, we spent these days together or these weeks, and you have that to look back on.
So do you see it as a fairy tale, this honeymoon that you had? That sounds like quite a honeymoon. What was the most enjoyable part of it?
The train ride. I say the train ride because you just get to sit and relax and not feel rushed, and then you just watch the beauty of the country as you're going by. And then we have time to talk and chat. Because there's just one time we almost missed our train because I wanted to get pizza.
Yes.
And it's like, seriously?
That's exactly what happened.
I paid for the pizza, and did I leave it?
Yes,
I left the pizza.
Because it was better that you leave the pizza than the train. That was going to end up being 10 times as much.
Exactly. We got on the train with, we were both frustrated. He was really upset. I was really upset. But it was an awesome time because we got to sit and look each other in the eye and be like, what's the issue? What's going on? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the ride, it was just, you know, like, well, pizza wasn't worth that much. So.
And she got food on the train.
Yeah.
So it was all good.
I mean, this is Europe. You're on a train. There's food.
You can
always find food.
So, you know, we said in the introduction, so is the honeymoon over? And how would you answer that question when people ask you, is the honeymoon over?
I would say no. So with our anniversary coming up, we're planning on taking another trip. And for the longest, Brandy had kept calling it honeymoon number two.
Okay.
So I don't believe so. And, you know, we're still trying to do things to, you know, keep, you know, the relationship fresh. We're trying, you know, different activities, trying to go out and just kind of experience life together as a, you know, newlywed couple. I still think we'd consider a newlywed couple.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like what you're saying, but we're gonna come back to that in a minute. After a short break, we'll talk more with one of our favorite newlywed couples, Justin and Brandy Martin. Stay with us.
We're talking with Justin and Brandy, who are about to celebrate their first anniversary of marriage. So just before we went to break, you were talking about getting ready to celebrate your anniversary. And
honeymoon
said,
two.
Yeah, Brandy was calling it honeymoon two. Tell us about that a little bit.
So the plan is we're doing right now, we're going to go to Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, Central America.
Yes, for about a week.
Okay.
It's an opportunity to kind of reconnect, spend some one-on-one time with one another.
Pura vida, they say.
That's what they say.
Pura vida?
Pura vida.
Pure life.
Pure life.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
Some time to just kind of reconnect with one another and just kind of experience a different culture, different lifestyle.
Have you ever been to Costa Rica?
I have not. So I'm excited. This will be my first time.
Okay, both of you for the first time.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, so you know what I love about what you're doing is that you're calling it honeymoon two. So it already infers, as you said, that the honeymoon is not over, right? And that you can actually keep having a honeymoon. The other thing, though, that I think is really important is that you guys are planning for it. So this is what fuels that energy in your relationship, that romance. You know how you often hear people say, our romance is dead. Well, your romance is dead because you did nothing to fuel it. Right. It's not going to just come naturally. So I love the idea that long before you're even coming up to this, you're already planning because you have to save for it. Mm-hmm. You have to get time off from work.
Right.
So again,
you have to make reservations.
Yeah,
and stuff,
many couples will say, well, we don't have the time, we don't have the money. Well, if you start thinking about it from a year ago, you give up whatever it is you need to give up. Mm-hmm. Eat beans and rice, you know, if you need to plan for this. So I think that's really critical in marriage. So honeymoon too, good for you. I feel like, you know, I keep saying, you know, I feel like saying, go, you know, like that's just really important for couples because too often we say we grew apart and you're intentionally doing something to grow together.
In fact, we say that all the time. Unless you're intentional about growing together, you're going to grow apart. So this is wonderful. So I'd like to throw back to the little conversation about the pizza and what perhaps was your first little misunderstanding and what brought a little tension in your relationship. And it happened during your honeymoon.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit more about that and what decisions you made, because you had to be intentional about what to do and what not to do, or what to say or what not to say. How did you work through that?
So at the beginning, I had to go to the bathroom, and then on the way to the bathroom, there was a pizza place right next door. So I should have ordered the pizza and then went to the bathroom, but I went to the bathroom and ordered the pizza, because I would have been fine. I had the pizza, but
In a perfect world.
And Justin said, I'll be waiting here at the train. You have a little bit wasted, so hurry and come back. And I hurried in the bathroom, and then I got to the pizza, paid for it, but eventually didn't get it because I looked at the time and I said, he is going to be so upset. And so I'm running, dodging to him, and then we're running to the train. We finally get on.
So you made a decision.
Yes.
That you weren't going to be able to get the pizza.
Right.
You
right.
saw the time, and being the person that you are, you ran to the train.
Okay, yes. But he's making a face. So
that might be.
So she didn't get the pizza.
She didn't get the pizza. So that part is accurate. And I feel it might just be perspective. Right? Because I remember she was walking. She said, oh, there's pizza. I said, don't get pizza. We don't have time. And I think what kind of exacerbated the situation was we were at one gate, at one platform, but our train had come in at another platform.
So we
had to move. Yeah. And so I'm sitting here waiting for us. Like, man, she's taking a long time. Maybe she fell in. And then I see her peek her head. I'm like, we've got to go. We've got to go. And so, you know, we come running. We make the train. And I'm just kind of there looking at her. You know, like,
were you upset?
Oh,
yes. I was upset.
It was one of those, seriously?
Yes, it was.
Seriously. Like beyond seriously.
I think it was beyond serious.
And, you know, I'm all about, I don't like to rush.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's be there 5-10 minutes early, get our seats, put our stuff up, you know, just relax. And now we're running, you know, through
the train station.
So
Were you upset?
Yes.
And you knew he was upset.
Yes, but I was more frustrated that I paid for a pizza and didn't get it. And then I got more upset because I really wanted the pizza. And then when I saw his face, I felt really bad. And I said, man, he's really upset at me.
So what did you say to each other? What did you not say to each other?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I remember when we sat down, I was like, you know, what happened? And then she kind of told me the story. And so I said, you know, I said, we don't have time for the pizza, right? And so and then after that, I think everyone just kind of got quiet, you know, kind of let's stew a little bit in our emotions.
Yeah.
And then I think, and I'm not sure what exactly it was.
But you were conscious about not blowing it up?
Not trying to blow up.
Not destroying the moment.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say, you know, I was like, we made the train.
Yeah.
Granted, it's not how I would have preferred to make the train, but we're on the train, and we're gonna get to our destination, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of helped kind of assuage the situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's just deconstruct it a little bit, because we're trying to help young couples here. Mm-hmm. And you're not in any way trying to present your relationship as perfect. Right. But you've intentionally put some strategies in place, right? Mm-hmm. So you knew he was going to be upset. First of all, okay, now the truth is, he said, you don't have time for pizza.
Yes.
But I can understand, I would do the same thing. Like, who are you to tell me I don't have time for pizza?
You certainly would.
Okay. So I most certainly have time for pizza. Sure. We have a whole 10 minutes before that train comes, right? Yeah. So I get that.
And her 10 minutes is different than the real 10
right,
minutes.
Right. And he always wants to be at the train stop.
At the plane, at the train.
An hour ahead of time.
Not an hour, just when they're boarding. You know? When they call for the train, when they call for the plane, I want to be there to board.
So,
but then you made a conscious decision. It's like, oh my, you know, this pizza is not going to come, so I'm going to have to let it go, even though I paid for it. So that's number one. You can say what you want to, but she did make a decision.
She did.
Now, he was upset, so we're deconstructing this.
Yeah.
You allowed him to be upset.
Yes.
And that's really important. Mm-hmm. I think, again, too often in relationships, we're upset that the other person is upset.
But his anger was contained.
Well, that's my third point. But I don't want to miss the point that she allowed him. She thought to herself, he's upset. And I did something that, whether I'm to blame or not, he's entitled to be upset. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to destroy the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But number three, you were proactive, right? You asked a question instead of blowing up and saying, I told you not to get pizza. Now we're... Well, you're...
They made the train.
You made the train.
They made the train.
You made the train. So they're intentional decisions, as you're saying.
Absolutely.
That you're making...
Deciding what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. And for every couple that's successful, those questions they have to face, and they have to make decisions that are strategic to the health of the relationship. Right. For you to survive and thrive, you can't just blow up. You can't just throw caution to the wind. That's a disaster. Because in this business of marriage, as John Gottman likes to say, there are masters and disasters. Mm-hmm. And you guys were masterful in the way you handled that first one there.
Yeah. And the reason why I wanted to go back to that is because those are the little issues. Someone might say, oh, that's so insignificant. But those are the little, those are the real issues that are keeping couples apart, because there are these little irritations that they're dealing with every day.
After a short break, we'll play a newlywed game to see how much our couple has learned about each other in the first year of marriage. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's time to play our newlywed game to see what our couple has learned about each other in their first year of marriage. So, Justin and Brandy.
All right.
Number one.
So what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a question, and you're both going to answer at the same time, immediately.
Oh, okay.
Okay, don't wait to see what the other person is saying. Okay? All right. Here's question number one. Is your spouse a morning person or a night owl?
Morning.
Owl. Night owl.
Okay. Night All right. Owl. Is he right?
Yes.
Is she right?
Yes.
Okay. Is your spouse messy or meticulous?
Meticulous.
Messy.
Oh!
That's fair. I own that one.
Come on. Number three.
Number three. Sports fanatic or friends fanatic?
Sports fanatic.
You're right.
Like, I'm not into sports.
I'm a sports fanatic.
Oh, I was shocked. Yeah.
She's a friend fanatic.
He was thinking of himself.
I was thinking about myself.
Okay, number four. What does your spouse like to eat for breakfast? Keep it kosher now. What does
protein pancakes.
Eggs and like turkey sausage or something like sausage type of
morning. Morning stars.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's pretty good. That's similar. Okay. Number five. What is your prayer for your marriage?
That'll be successful. That'll succeed.
Longevity.
Longevity. Okay. kind of forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's interesting that as compatible as you guys seem, you're opposites in many ways, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And what we often say to couples is that before marriage, opposites attract, but after marriage, they repel. Mm-hmm. So how is that working for you?
I think, like, patience, like I said, going back to patience, for sure, because, like, it's not extremely messy, but I've learned that at one point, living on my own, I was a little messy, but living with him now I'm like, man, I didn't realize how meticulous I am about certain things, because he'll leave certain things, and so I'm like, man, patience-wise, because he is learning to live with someone else, and it is new that, hey, yes, I lived at The Bachelor, now I'm married, my wife probably prefers this here, there, and whatnot, so... I mean, for me, that's kind of where we are with that. But.
Yeah, I would say that I guess the adjustment is there's certain times where I just have to let her do her thing, you know. Certain things that she's concerned about doesn't bother me nearly as much. I'm like, you know what? If that's what you want to do, go ahead. You
know, don't sweat the small stuff.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, pick and choose your battles, right? You know.
Yeah. So, again, you know what we say to couples? If that's your thing, then you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you need to have all the glasses lined up in a certain formation and the other person doesn't, mm-hmm. then make it your thing.
Yeah.
So, again, too often couples nag, like, oh, I came to the cupboard and the glasses were out of order. Well, but that's your thing.
Mm-hmm.
See, and what we have to respect is that for the other person, it may not look out of order
mm-hmm.
because we're different people and we have different brains and we think differently.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's your thing, then just do it instead of nagging about it, and vice versa, mm-hmm. you know. But I can hear someone saying, yeah, but what if, you know, that's the way they like it. So what we say to people is, if you know your spouse likes something, mm-hmm. if you can...
Mm-hmm.
You know, begin to see it through their lens, right? Mm-hmm. So if you know, and this may not be your issue. I'm just throwing something out, pulling something out of the hat. I'm saying, you know, lining up the glasses in mm-hmm. a certain way. Then you might stop and say, oh, you know, she really likes the glasses this way. So today I'm going to, like, line them up this way. Mm-hmm. It's just the gift that we can give to each other.
So I want to just go over this with you very quickly. Michelle Wiener Davis, who is a marriage researcher, she's come up with these five stages of marriage that she's found out of her research. And I want to see how that plays out with you guys. Stage number one is a physical stage. Do you agree that phase number one is a physical stage? You just can't wait to be with each other. You can't get enough of each other. Did you experience that in your marriage as stage number one?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, there were times where we would stay in contact with one another, and then when we, you know, got home, you know, we spent a lot of time just kind of just, I guess, enjoying one another and kind of just, you know, sitting down, being close, just, you know, just spending that time. So I would say so.
Stage number two, what was I thinking?
About marriage?
Don't think. I don't think we want to put them on the spot there. So that's stage number two.
Yeah,
have to answer that question.
What was I thinking? You know, it's like, you know, you know, you're in love and thinking that marriage is going to go this way, and then you get married, and then, like, what was I thinking? You know.
I think it's shaping up to what I kind of imagined, anticipated marriage to be. It's nothing that I feel like. It's like, man, why did I do this? Like, let's go back to single life. No, I love it. I enjoy it. And like I said, it's awesome just waking up to someone and going to sleep. I miss that because I work night shifts. And there's times where I'm at work and he's, you know, home, and I come home and it's like, man, I miss, you know, that time to chat or talk and lay in bed together. So it's like, it's kind of, sometimes it's a good thing because we miss each other. And so when we do come together, you know, I am home. It's like, hey, what's going on? What do we miss? So, yeah.
Stage number three.
That's nice.
If he could only change, if she could only change?
No, I don't think so. I say that because Brandy's been the person I've known her to be. Once we got married, I mean, I guess things changed, but her overall character, who I knew her to be, that hasn't changed. And I think I went into just us dating, being open to the person that she is. And if I wanted something else, you know, maybe I would have looked for something else. But she has what I, you know, wanted and needed. And so, you know, I don't think I've gotten to that, or, you know, like, if she could change something.
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Brandy?
No, and I, you know, iron sharpens iron. So it's like things that he's strong in and I'm weak in, it helps me to look at myself and say, hey, I need to do better, or hey, rethink, you know, what you're doing. And he does that a lot, and I appreciate that. So, I mean, I enjoy the differences in...
Stage four. Stage four. That's how he is. That's how she is.
It looks like they've skipped all the other steps, and they're at stage four.
Yeah, well, no, that's how he is. That's how she is.
Now, this is the first year of marriage.
Yeah,
so we're, you know, we've got to check in again in a year or two.
Right, that's fair.
but, you know, honestly, if you are intentional about all the things that you've spoken about, mm-hmm. you could actually stay at stage four.
Mm. Right? Or at stage
or
one.
Or go to stage... Or yeah, or stage one. or stage five, which is what stage five?
Together at last.
Together at last. Yeah. Because that is why you got married,
yeah.
right? So the thing about marriage is, I don't want to be a killjoy, and sometimes people say, you know, oh, you're killing the romance. But what we say is there really is no happily ever after. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the fairy tales, they say happily ever after. But no one talks about the little argument on the train station mm-hmm. with the pizza, mm-hmm. right? Because we only see the knight in shining armor, mm-hmm. you know.
We went to Venice. We went to Milan.
Right, yeah. right, right.
We went to Nice.
Right. You know,
we
you only
Paris,
see the horse, the horse riding off into the sunset, yeah. but you don't see the real issues. Mm-hmm. But if you can continue to attack your issues the way you have been and be intentional about coming together and having fun together and enjoying your marriage mm-hmm. and resolving your differences, you'll have a great marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's what we wish for both of you. So thanks so much, Brandy and Justin, for being with us today. It's great to have them on our show, and we want them to know that we're praying for their marriage and God's purpose for their union. To watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website listed on your screen and share your thoughts with us on Facebook and Twitter.
That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.